So it's my privilege to have shared today, and I mentioned this morning as we continue with our theme of go. This morning I talked about the submissive servant, and tonight I want to talk about the strengthened servant. There's an old saying that says that you come down to earth with a bump. I wonder whether that's something that you've ever experienced, where you've been in that place where it just seems everything's going great. It's been an amazing time that you're just in that place where it seems that everything is just absolutely perfect. And then suddenly, out of the blue, something happens that in one sense sort of causes you to sort of go tumbling downhill, feeling what on earth has gone wrong. I wonder whether you in that experience have had a crisis of faith. If you have, you're not alone. You're not alone. And we are going to look at this man this evening and see that for him, he'd experienced something absolutely amazing. For all of us, we would love to have been there. His name is Elijah. And Elijah, his heart and his yearning was for spiritual breakthrough in the life of the nation. God had been using him, speaking to him, providing for him. And there comes this climax in his life where Elijah, led by God, challenges the people that are involved in causing the people of God to fall into idolatry, to challenge them to a competition, to be able to reveal who the true God really was. He walks up the mountain with expectant heart. He knows that God is with him. He knows that everything that he has put in place, everything that he is about to do, is in tune with the heart of God. He watches as his competitors do their utmost to try and call for their gods to respond with supernatural fire. But idols can never respond supernaturally. And then it comes a moment where Elijah is now at the very pinnacle of experience of the ministry of God at work in his life, when he says, right, let's rebuild the altar that's been broken down. Let's prepare the way for God to come. Let's create everything that is necessary in order that fire might fall, supernatural fire, to demonstrate the God who is truly to be worshipped and to be followed. And the God who is the supernatural God, the God that we love, the God that we follow, he answers by fire. Not only has Elijah created the altar, not only has he put on the altar the sacrifice, but to create an even greater experience of the supernatural power of God, he's had a ditch dug round it, he's soaked it in water, and then fire consumes it all. The people fall on their knees. They say, he is the God. He is the true God. And you would think, as Elijah did, that was the moment of revival. That was the moment of renewal. That was the moment when the nation would suddenly respond and turn to God. You know, sometimes we think that the demonstration of the miraculous is sufficient to bring people to faith, and it's not. We need it. We must pray for it. We must live in an expectation it will happen. But if you think that that in itself will create the environment for people to respond by faith, that is not necessarily the case. And what Elijah discovers is that this very pinnacle of spiritual experience, that suddenly out the blue, a message comes. And a message that states categorically, I am after your life. How could a man of faith so quickly fall into a crisis of faith? But he did. And that encourages me. Because there have been times in my life where I've hit a pinnacle spiritually and then suddenly I've followed it with a crisis. Wondering where God is, wondering what God is doing, wondering why the change hasn't come, wondering why the revival hasn't broken out, wondering why the renewal isn't taking place, wondering why the changes that I thought would happen have not happened, wondering why the dreams have died. And there in that crisis of faith, we begin to see a journey taking place. As we move on to the next slide, I want to just take you through part one of this journey. You see, in the place of crisis, there is an experience and an impression that Elijah gets. It's only me. It's only me left. No one else is concerned. No one else is following the true God. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that is in this place where I have an expectation that God is the one that's going to move. Do you know, sometimes at the very beginning of our crisis of faith, we're left feeling isolated and alone. No one understanding, no one with us, no one supporting us, no one strengthening us, no one helping us, no one listening to us, no one concerned about us. It's only me. And it can bring us to such a depth that we feel we want to die. And although in Elijah's case, physically that was hoping for, spiritually something was happening there too. And sometimes in our crisis of faith, we feel our faith is dying. We feel that we're losing all the things that we've held on to for so long, that we're filled with disappointment and disillusionment. We wonder, where is God and why isn't God concerned about me? But you see, as Elijah starts this journey in this place of crisis, he discovers that there is a caring God who knows about the crisis he's going through. I want to say to some of you, there is a caring God who knows what you're going through at this very moment in time. Understands the questions that are there. Understands the feelings that you have. Understands the sense of disappointment, understands the realization that in some respects, hopes have died. But this caring God is going to come and he's going to begin to minister into your life at that point, at your lowest depth. And he comes and supernaturally he begins to minister into Elijah's life. Here at this point where Elijah's almost questioning his faith, here is a God who's saying, I'm going to send angels that are going to minister to you. I'm going to send you a takeaway so that you'll be able to get strong. Whether it was Chinese, Indian, fish and chips, who knows? It was angel cake, certainly. But here we discover that Elijah gets strengthened by a God who cares. He's caring for you. Irrespective of where you are in your faith at this moment in time, he does not stop caring for you. Amen. Whether you're on the top of the mountain and believing that all things are possible, or whether you're in the deepest valley believing that nothing is possible and even questioning your faith, he cares for you. I love the Psalms because David so often expresses how he feels. And in those Psalms, he often talks about, where is God? Why is it seen that all the things that are so evil seem to somehow or other have the preeminence? Why is it that I'm going through such a dark time? Why is it I'm experiencing such devastation and such loneliness? I love the story of Job, who suddenly enters out of this experience of so much blessing and so much abundance into an experience of total loss and total devastation. Yet in it all, David and Job would discover there was a God who cared. When you know there's a God who cares, knows where you're at, understands what you're going through, and is there coming alongside you to help. But in the middle of all of that, he does question you. He does say to Elijah this challenging question, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You see, God wants us to face up to where we're at. He wants us to be honest. When you come into church, come with honesty. If you're not feeling the best place, that's fine. If you're not feeling like worshipping, that's fine. If you're not feeling as though somehow or other the things that are happening around you just really relate to you, do you know that's fine? Be you. Because the fact remains, the Bible tells us we worship God in spirit and in truth. And sometimes we have to recognize and accept where we're at. To allow God to speak to us at the point we're at. Not to be in some way placed into a position where we have to put on this cloak. It's all great. It's all well. We're all so easily able to do that, aren't we? We wear this facade and we hide behind it. One of the church leaders says, how are you doing? I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing great. And inside we just are screwed up and feeling that we are somehow or other wishing we could be anywhere but here. That's where you're at this evening. I've got great news for you. That's fine. Because once God wants you to be honest and face up to that, to recognize that. What are you doing here? And yet that question remains unanswered at that point in time. And what happens is Elijah continues on his journey. He continues on his journey and eventually he hides away in a dark place. You ever hidden away in a dark place? There, as far as possible, in the background, out of sight, out of mind. The Bible tells us that in Elijah's case, it was a cave. He goes into the cave and he goes at the furthest point he can possibly get. Don't know if you've ever been in a cave. There have been times where Maureen and I have been away on holiday and we've visited caves. And generally speaking, when we've visited these caves, they've all been lit up. But on one occasion, they said, right, we're now going to switch the light off so you can see how dark it is. I tell you, I could not see my hand in front of my face. It was pitch black. The cave where Elijah was, in some ways, reflected how he was feeling inside. It was dark. It was black. It was hopeless. It was full of despair. Yet God wasn't going to leave him there. And if you are in a dark place this evening, God's not going to leave you there. If you're in a place where you're hiding away this evening, God's not going to leave you there. If you're in a place where you just want to be outside and out of mind and not connected with anyone, God's not going to leave you there. Because it was at that moment in time that this word comes. This confirming word. Where God says, go out and stand in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. I want to say for some of you this evening, the Lord's about to pass by. And he's going to call you into his presence. Because it's there in his presence that something supernatural begins to happen. That begins to create the transformation that will take place in your heart, in your life, and in your perspective. God says, come out of that dark place. Come out into a place where there is light. But come out into a place where I can manifest something of my power and glory and majesty again. And it's this time not going to be a witness to a nation. It's going to be a personal witness to you. To show that you as an individual are on my heart and I'm concerned for you. As we see the next slide, it shows us how that it says, and after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his scarf and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. As we move on to the next part of this story, I want us to see one or two things that we need to take into account. And the first is this, that we see the evidence of the Creator's power. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. I love to see the demonstration of God's power. I love to see the demonstration of God moving supernaturally. Over the years that I've been a follower of Jesus, there have been some amazing times where there has been that experience. But you see, the interesting thing that I discover is when the power and the demonstration of the supernatural takes place, it does not move Elijah at all. It does not impact him. You see, he's seen that. He'd experienced that. He stood there and saw the miracle. He stood there and he prayed for the fire to come. He stood there and seen the supernatural evidence of a creator God who could send fire from heaven that can consume the sacrifice. It had all been there before him in all its majesty. And now as he sees the rocks torn apart, as he hears the wind blowing, as he sees the fire coming, all of that leaves him completely unmoved. See, because God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the shaking of the mountains. The demonstration of God's power is a signpost to discover the God who wants to be in relationship. The demonstration of God's power is the signpost that wants to take you to the place where you don't see his power, but where you experience his presence. Amen. Let me say that again. The demonstration of God's power is all that you don't just simply experience his power, but you experience his presence. See, when Jesus walked on earth, he performed many miracles. But some of those that he healed walked away, not to follow him again. Some of those who saw supernatural evidence of the sign of this one who was sent by God and indeed was God, saw all the demonstration of what was possible, yet did not submit to him. I wonder how many of the 5,000 who saw the breaking of the fish, the breaking of the loaves, the creative act of God as it was distributed and as they were fed, I wonder how many of them ultimately experienced not simply just the power of God, but the presence of God. I'm going to say to you, church, if all we experience in church is the power and not the presence, we've missed something. Yes, we need to pray for the power of God to be revealed. We need to pray for the power of God to be demonstrated in our community. We need to pray for the miraculous and for the signs and for the wonders. We need to pray for that. But I want to say to you, we want the evidence of that, but not without the presence. Mm-hmm. Not without the presence. Mm-hmm. It is the presence of God that will transform this community. Yeah. It is the presence of God that will transform your life. It's the presence of God that enables you to move into a place where you experience that relationship, that renewal, that reviving that comes because you are in his presence. Some of you have gone through some pretty torrid times just recently. I want to say to you, it's his presence that will make all the difference. Do not flee from his presence. Because when the presence of God came, that was the moment of connection. That was the moment when Elijah understood he was now entering into something fresh and something new. It was the moment when he presented himself to God and where there begins to be this conversation that takes place between the two of them. The question again is asked, what are you doing here? Elijah begins to pour out his heart, begins to say to Father God, look, don't you realize? I feel as though I'm the only one. I feel broken. I feel deserted. I feel disappointed. I feel disillusioned. I feel as though I can't carry on. I feel... I just want to run. I feel I've got no destiny. I feel I've got no dreams left. I feel I've no hope anymore. I'm a broken man. God begins to gently and quietly, there in his presence, whisper. Whisper into Elijah's ears, reassuring him, reaffirming that it's okay. You're not the only one. It's okay. I understand where you're at. But you've got a destiny. I know what you're going through. I know how you feel. But this is not the end. This is the beginning of something new and something fresh and something amazing. Elijah, I understand why you feel the way you do. But I want to tell you, there's a new chapter that's opening for you. A new chapter that's opening for you. It says, go back the way you came. Some of us have to go back. Go back to where it all began to go wrong. Go back to the place where the dream died. Go back to the place where the hope evaporated. To go back to the point where we were at in that place of certainty and confidence that we were there in the will of God. Go back to what would appear to have been at the time an impossible place to be, a hard place to be. A place where everything seemed to have gone wrong. But to go back to it because there's a new chapter. There's a new chapter that's opening up. There's a new experience that's going to come. There are new opportunities that are going to break out. There's going to be a new sense of the awesomeness of God's power and God's presence in that chapter as you go back. And that's what Elijah did. Tells us so. Elijah went from there, was led to a chain's lift. In case you hadn't spotted it, Maury would have done, but you all would have worked it out. Chain's life. I'm so glad in my moments of crisis of faith, God used those moments to change my life. In those moments when I wanted to walk away, God used those moments to change my life. So to some of you who have known me over so many years, within a very short period of time that I came here to Ashendon. Ashendon was the last place I wanted to be. And the church here, I got to the point of telling God what he could do with his church. God had to take me to a mountain. Call me out of a cave, speak into my life, and say, this is a new chapter. This is a new opportunity for you to discover something that I have yet to do, that I might receive the glory in and through you. So Elijah, now as a changed man, returns with a new sense of commission, a new sense of hope, a new sense of expectation, a new sense of destiny. As he takes that journey back, there is someone that he's going to call alongside him, who's going to partner with him. He's going to begin to start to speak into this young man's life and prepare this young man
for what the next chapter will be, to prepare this young man for what it was to live in a place of being a prophet of God, to hear from God, to know God, to understand God, to walk with God. Elijah begins to pour his life into Elisha. And Elisha is so impacted that when it comes for the moment for Elijah to go, first of all, Elijah didn't go the normal way. Elijah, who said, "I want to die," never saw death. He was taken up into heaven. And when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were two individuals with him, and Elijah was one of them. See, the destiny God had for him was greater than he could ever have imagined at the moment when he was in the place of his darkest time. That was the moment when God did something significant. Because sometimes God has to take us to the, allow us to come to the place where it seems so dark, in order that he can mold and fashion us into something that brings us into a place of enormous light and revelation. Elijah went, and from that moment on, had a new sense of destiny and purpose. I want to say to you, church, dark times will come. They will. But in the midst of those times, know that God is at work. See, even in the life of Jesus, a dark time came. The darkest moment in the life of Jesus was not when he was on the cross, when it all went dark. The darkest moment in the life of Jesus, when he was in a garden, praying the prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." When he understood the enormity of what God was about to do in him and through him. When he said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken away from me." But Jesus went through that moment of darkness and isolation and feeling that somehow or other it was almost impossible for him to walk this journey into a place where he willingly hung upon a cross. And as I said this morning, because of the cross, he received the crown. Now he's been given a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If you're feeling weak, be strengthened. As the worship team come to join me, there's a little song that the words just are going through my mind at this moment in time. "Faithful One, so unchanging. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor." I want you to know he's a faithful one. I want you to know that he will hold on to you. I want you to know that wherever you are at, whatever you're going through, no matter what it is that you're facing at this moment in time, there is one who is there for you, reaching out to embrace you, to hold you close, and you will hear that whisper. That says it's not the end. It's the beginning of something new. It's not the conclusion of your journey with me. It's an opening into a new and fresh experience. It's not something which is calamitous at this moment in time. It's something where I am creating a new chapter and a new experience and a new opportunity for you to experience and see my majesty and my glory. The East Gateway Hub, there is a new season, there is a new time, There are challenges in that. There are things that at times are causing us to question perhaps and wonder, where is God in all of this? But I want to say to you that I know that in the season that lies ahead, in all that is unfolding before us, that we are going to see the majesty and the glory of a God who demonstrates his power, the God of fire, but who more than that is the God of presence.
Amen.
May we know his presence for God's glory. Amen.